too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Oh, Golf Landia 173, not 174. As I put on Twitter, I don't even know what podcast number this is. It's 173 on the Matt Wiley Network. That was, so here's the thing with the intro music. That was Snow Job from A View to a Kill, mid-80s Roger Moore, James Bond. And the reason why is that if you watch Pluto TV, which is the greatest invention on apps in the history of apps, it's free live streaming TV, real time, no sign up, nothing. You have to do anything, no credit cards, nothing. Just download Pluto TV and you can watch live anything on your phone. They have 24/7 007 movies. And View to a Kill came on, and I thought that soundtrack is the greatest soundtrack of any Bond film, because it was mid-80s. You had that sort of conversion of, you know, old school concert music with then, I don't know, probably Eddie Van Halen ripping the guitar. Just that sort of hybrid of music. And that wasn't the lead song. The lead song was Duran Duran, which is still great. But that was, I just love that soundtrack. So I put on Twitter, bringing this full circle, in that with Pat Mayo's contest, his one-and-done contest, which the website is, funny story coming up here, by the way, fangolfchamps.com. I did a thing with Pat on video where we were seven of us, Rick Gaiman, me, Ben Raza, Pat, Jeff Ulrich, my brain's going blank. But we drafted eight rounds. I don't know, something like that. Of players for the season, the winner gets to donate or wins $100 to donate to charity, whatever. By the way, my team rocks. First two rounds, I get Brooks and DJ. I was fourth overall pick. I get DJ with the four pick. Very happy with that. Brooks, DJ Brooks, Matsuyama, Fowler are top four. My top four picks. But anyway, there's a $100 entry into this one-and-done contest. It's very well organized. It's very neat and clean. Huge prize for first, $30,000, I think. And it's filling. It's now 2,677 entries out of 3,300. And I said I would give. I had a link to give one away. And I said, if you guessed the intro music to this podcast upcoming, and we'll draw from the ties, but if you guessed the intro music upcoming from I think the best soundtrack ever, that I would give you a free entry, because Pat gave me a link for a free entry. So it's View to a Kill. And here's the funny part. Here's the funny story. So there's like five of you who guessed View to a Kill, by the way. You're very sharp and smart. So Pat gives me this link to give to you guys, or the winner of this tournament, and I'm talking to him right now. And what do? Like the moron I am in 2021, I activate the link and enter it. So now I activated it. So I own it. So I am the link. So it's gone now. So now I have an extra pick. And I can't unhook it. So now I have to give the winner of this $100 to enter with time running out. So then I go, hey, Pat, what if I just cancel this? What if I cancel the entry? Maybe I'll get the link back. And so I did that. I canceled the entry. And now it's gone too. So not only did I enter the pick that you should deserve, the winner of this contest, but then I canceled it and now everything is gone. And so I'm just fucking with Pat right now. He doesn't have time for this shit. And he says, solid work. That's all he said. I go, Pat, I really fucked this up. I'm really sorry. He goes, solid work. But anyway, one of you is going to get it. I have to do it by tomorrow because it's filling up real, real nice. So we're in Golflandia 174, the first 173, you dumb, 173 of the new year. I haven't done one in a while. I just felt like COVID took a lot out. COVID content in 2020 took, golf content took a lot of out of me, and I just felt I had no creativity at all left. Not that I had any to start with. I just didn't feel like I had anything left to give from a podcast. Plus, it's so saturated with NFL, NBA, et al. No one gives a crap about golf from a fantasy perspective in the fall swing. I just felt buried. My mind felt just fogged up. I mean, we went through a lot last year in 2020. Think about the content. Stay sane through a very precarious time that no one really understood what was going to happen. I mean, we had remember the Outlaw Tour? That kept us alive. That was great. That was a lot of fun. That kept us sane. That golf still existed and was still going to happen ever again. There was Empire Maker Twitter. Wilson Twitter. That was the huge part of 2020 that kept us really engaged. There was the Justin Rose. Odd photos from Justin Rose. Like the one recently of him beside a tree in a scarf saying, you know, Happy New Year. He's kind of an unusual guy. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of crave his content because it's so unusual. I don't think he's doing it ironically. I just genuinely think that it's somewhat attention seeking. Dave Portnoy, his epic content, stock trading in COVID when Penn stock was at $3 when he was losing $1 million a day trading, and his complete resurgence. That was quite a commitment to the craft. Ice culture, ice machine, ice cube culture, which I'm big into. You may think it's weird, but the quality of ice in my drinks is very important to me in my life. Now I have not only do I have a desktop ice maker, I've got a soda stream to make quality club soda 24 hours a day, 60 liters a week. The ghost on Periscope in this office. This office is completely haunted, by the way. Completely haunted. The ghost of Edwin appeared so many times during the Periscopes in COVID. And I didn't really need to do those, but they just kept, you know, me sane alone in an office thinking, where the hell are we going in this, you know, pandemic? And this ghost in this office just kept appearing, going through my head. And now we've got a 10-foot wingspan bat that Nathan tried to wrestle the other week. Again, this bat is back. But the funniest thing, literally the funniest thing, and I'll get to golf in a second, just recapping 2020. So you had great Twitter accounts. Just really entertaining Twitter accounts. Wilson, Empire Maker, et al. Outlaw Tour was great. They did a great job filling the gap in golf. And I will always never forget those people. Justin Rose, Portnoy, My Ice Culture, Periscope Ghost, blah, blah, blah. Bats. People who lost their mind on Twitter. Really odd content. And now you're back to Bitcoin touts, which has been now 4 years in the making again. people who all of a sudden believe back in Bitcoin, which is great because I do believe that Bitcoin is going to go up. But people who say I'm only love Bitcoin and not the US dollar didn't care about the Bitcoin until it was had a relative value high to the US dollar. I got an argument on the weekend with someone about that. How else do you value Bitcoin other than the US dollar? How else do you value anything? I won't argue about that here. Anyway, but all of that stuff, the craziest shit in 2020, and I'll get to golf in a second, the craziest thing in 2020 was the Ilaria Baldwin fake Spanish accent, fake Spanish persona. That was the most mind-boggling. If out of everything we experienced, that was the craziest thing to me. Ilaria Baldwin. She faked her Spanish descent. It was crazy. Grew up in Boston, went to private school, went to NYU. Very well off, very white, very American. Family came on the Mayflower. But then she was Spanish. How you say cucumber? Faking an... It was just that if you didn't go down that rabbit hole of content, I think you should. Out of all the things on Twitter that kept me entertained that were just off the wall, that may have peaked it at right at New Year's, which was crazy. How you say cucumber? You're American. How you say carburetor? You said it. It's carburetor. That's how you say it. You just said it. Cucumber in Spanish is cucumber. All attention seeking. That's what content is. It's all attention seeking. Everything. Just like me fighting with old timey bike guy on Twitter the other day. The thing that Rex Chapman posted about the guy in the old timey bike getting hit by the van, which was totally staged, by the way. And I said the old timey bike guy who was hit by the van deserved every second of it. And I got completely attacked by bike culture people. It was about the old timey bike guy. If you drive an old timey bike in 2021 on camera, you're doing it for attention. Like anything in content, you're doing it for attention. Like the guy on Twitter, in Sports DFS Twitter, who said he ran 150, give or take, with that little wiggly symbol. I read 150, give or take, books during COVID. He said that. 150 wiggly signed books. If you read 150, give or take, books, you know how many books you read, give or take. I haven't read 150 books in my life. I've read 150 give or take books. Yeah, that's about 0.75. That's how many books I've read in my life. I find reading impossible. I couldn't get through chapter 2 of Nancy Drew without having zero idea of what is the plot. None. Of a, what did you call it? Young adult novels? Nathan? Yeah, young adult novels. I couldn't get through a chapter 2 of a young adult novel without having zero idea of the plot. Hey, Matt, you remember the part where Nancy Drew found a magnifying glass? Yeah, I didn't catch that part. I couldn't read it. I didn't get it. And that was 2020. What I realized was the drawing a circle around all this content, how many minutes am I into this podcast, this insane podcast, 14 minutes, is that all content, including my own, is attention-seeking. I try to add value and be entertaining, but what I've come to the conclusion is that a lot of this is just for attention. It's hard for me to reconcile continuing to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because if I can be a little bit entertaining or informative, that's fine. And And 2020 had some really crazy stuff that we saw. Some really crazy content. Some really good stuff that kept our spirits alive and entertained. The stuff with, you know, whatever. I've talked about it. Fake Spanish accent was peak. My fight with old-timey bike guy didn't go far enough. And the guy who read 150 give or take books. You didn't. But this, oh, by the way, here's what I want to lastly talk about in terms of content, okay? So all that content is everything on social media, whatever. It's attention-seeking. Who cares? It's fine. Don't bemoan it. It's fine. Some is informative, entertaining. Let it, Dave Portnoy's attention-seeking. Who cares? It entertains me at times. But the thing about content, what I really, really, really liked about the content in the future of sports content in 2020 was I got my kids two Oculus Quest 2s. And we used it in the office before I gave it to the kids just to test it. We played Richie's Plank Experience, which essentially the Oculus Quest is the VR headset. And it's incredible. And Richie's Plank Experience is basically you walking off the side of a building. And you think you're a grown man adult. And you think, okay, this is just a game, and it's not real. Fast forward to me like wincing in a corner, wetting my pants, because I think I'm on top of a building jumping off it. Or playing Jurassic World. I'm being attacked by daddy. You think you're being attacked by dinosaurs, like a little baby boy. And what excited me about this content with this VR is that ESPN has an app, MLB has an app, I know Augusta National will have an app. Pluto TV, as I talked about, had an app, 007. All of these, YouTube VR has an app. All the gaming, etc. In VR, like a movie theater, I've talked about this before in a previous podcast, in that your senses cannot detach themselves from how they respond to stimulus, regardless of whether or not you have a headset on and it's you know it's graphics. Your brain still responds in this field of vision as if it would if it was real. And that's why movie theaters are so effective, is because they sort of encapsulate your entire field of vision, so all your senses are naturally attuned to reacting to what the stimulus is. If you're watching a TV in your living room, you can look to your right and see a fucking couch and know you're in your living room. But when you have this VR complex on your face, you can't detach yourself. And I swear to you, you can't. You really cannot. Like, you believe you're on top of a building going to fall off, even though everything is digital and graphic. You know it's not real. Good luck crapping your pants. But what excited me about it is that, especially in the post-year COVID, which I've talked about, is that the future of sports entertainment, because people aren't just going to want to rally back to football games nuts to butts, breathing on each other and transferring diseases. Now that I know how you get the fucking stomach flu, I don't want it. I don't want to go to Rupp Arena and sit 5 inches from a stranger while he coughs nacho dust in my face. But I will do that from virtual reality. And I think that imagine experiencing the Masters in VR hole by hole, and you genuinely cannot obviously you're not there, but you cannot distinguish the fact that you have not been teleported to Augusta, Georgia and watching the Masters right next to the hole. There's a game in Jurassic World where, you know, the universal screen with the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da with the world. By the way, I don't take drugs. I seem really amped up, but I don't take drugs. When they have the universal screen and that globe, they have a game where you're actually flying over that planet. And you feel like you're flying in space. And so imagine experiencing hole by hole the Masters with the sounds, the crowd, virtually looking up and down and all around at the course. That is going to happen, and it's going to change the architecture of sports. Now, stadiums are going to suck and go bankrupt, but places like golf, my God, to be teleported to Hawaii to watch a century, that is going to happen. Huge fan of Oculus Quest 2s. What the hell did I just talk about for 20 minutes? Who cares? All right, let's talk to Ryan the first time in 2021. We'll talk about the Century. The Century Tournament of Champions is typically for champions of the past year, but because of COVID, they've invited anyone who made it to the Tour Championship. So there you go. That's why Finau's there. That's why Matsuyama's there. That's why players who have not won are competing this week. And nothing about 2020. You think that I would get some religion in terms of my affinity for Matsuyama and Finau. And I would think about, oh, perhaps don't invest so much time and energy into those two players. Forget it. It's continuing this year and beyond. My first call of this year was Finau's going to win this week. That won't change. Here is Ryan. All right, so Ryan, first podcast in a while, but first podcast of 2021. Mm-hmm. So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
The Century Tournament of Champions is different this year in that they allowed anyone who made it to the Tour Championship in the field.
Yeah, the Tournament of Champions and those with enough FedEx Cup points.
Because I wondered why Hideki and Finau were in the field.
Yep.
And that answered the question. I remember last year with the Tournament of Champions, you know, I was looking back to my old notes and then some of the footage from last year, it sort of prompted my memory about how crazy the 18th and the playoff was between JT, Xander, and Reed. And I forget, I mean, obviously we probably had the loser, but JT was drawing, it was one of the most unusual sequences because he was drawing dead.
Yep.
Like the second that he went into, well, I guess the hazard on his approach shot. Mm-hmm. And then Xander three putted to tie for the playoff. I mean, he had it really in the bag.
Yeah. He had what, 20, 25 feet. And then, just missed the hole. From
for a two putt,
about 4 feet on the comebacker, yeah.
And then Reed in the playoff when he blew by the hole about 12 feet because some fan yelled cheater.
That's awesome,
right? So, but this is Hawaii, not only is it evening golf for us, but you get a pretty stacked field of high quality players on a course that, I mean, historically they've done pretty well at. I think they've toughened it over the past few years in that it's not demolishable from a minus 30 standpoint. Wind is always the big arbiter here. Mm-hmm. 14 under one, but last year with Justin Thomas, but the wind was, I recall, pretty stout. But this is this is the setup for the Sony too, but the Hawaii swing is actually kind of fun. To me, I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like the night golf. I think that's great. And it's a fun course. You know, I think there's a lot of great courses out there, but I like the ones where you know every hole, right? Like you can see this, and as soon as the 18th hole comes on TV, you know exactly kind of where they are, what they're right. doing, what kind of shot they need. And yeah, I mean, that's a cool hole. You're going to see a lot of guys make six on that hole, but you're going to see a lot of threes and fours too.
So the course itself... my notes from last year and years previous, I'm bringing the Sony notes are great, by the way. I just looked at them for next week.
Yeah.
I included some stuff. I don't know why I included. So we'll get to those next week. But the Century TOC, longish, absolutely wide open off the tee, resort course. Undulating and hilly, huge, huge Bermuda greens. Heavy bunkering. Other than that, the ultimate arbiter of scoring, like I said, is the wind. Length helps a lot. The Bermuda rough can get you know somewhat problematic. So you see, length helps, but you see some short game specialists, wedge specialists, do well here as well. ZJ, Spieth, even a Jonathan Bird or Steve Stricker. So you don't necessarily have to be a Champ or a Bryson to succeed here, but you do have to find. Like a lot of these courses where it's going to be 20 under, you're going to have an all-round game to score well. I don't believe it's going to be 30 under. We'll see what the weather report, what transpires from that. But just all-round game, good form, good wedge play. I mean, look at the winners historically. They're going to be pretty good golfers. Thomas twice, Xander, Dustin twice, Jordan, Reed. It's going to be, you know, this is a very, I mean, for an early season tournament with a 42-man field, mm-hmm. you got some talent up top.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, the hardest thing about these kind of events are really, I mean, look, I think the Bombers have an edge everywhere. I think there's plenty of length needed on this golf course, but we've seen anybody win here, right? Steve Stricker won here multiple times, Zach Johnson, Spieth. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you don't need that skill set. And I mean, one of the reasons why is because there's an extra par four. And on those par fours, they're mostly short. So you're hitting wedges. Everybody, you know, is going to need to play the par five as well, but it really comes down to who can score on the par four. So I like that element of it. I mean, anytime you have a no cut event with a small field, like it really does open it up for anybody. Now, do I think Michael Thompson or Brian Gay or someone's going to win this? No, I don't. But I think, you can see a lot of random names up there this week.
And so Green Square Golf is the venture between myself and Mike Miller. For those of you new to it, but greensquare.golf is the website. And we have some new innovations coming this year. But the large point for greensquare.golf at Green Square Golf on Twitter is that it shows you historical form on the course, historical course form across multitude of tours, European Tour, you know, LPGA, etc., champions, but PGA too. So you can see how players have performed over the last 10, 12 years here at this course, plus their form coming in for the last 12 weeks. And you can reconcile those two things to see, okay, does this player play well here? See Dustin Johnson. Mm-hmm. And have they played well leading up to this tournament? See Dustin Johnson. And for the most part, especially you and me, Ryan, that's a large part of what we gauge success on in terms of figuring out who may perform well. It doesn't always perform an exact science, but it's pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
So this week I was looking at, in a no-cut event from a pricing standpoint in DraftKings, because these guys are going to be here until Sunday, mm-hmm. regardless of how shitty they play. You got to have guys who are going to make some birdies.
Yep.
And so it becomes an interesting matrix here for some lower price guys who you know or potentially know can make some birdies over 4 days or an eagle or two, which is what you're going to have. I mean, and then the question is, do you want someone like a expensive DJ or expensive JT who, you know, may or may not win, and then not be able to afford some players in the middle with the guts who, you know, are going to be in the top 10, top five and make a ton of birdies. What's your rationale here in a no cut event for a small field with some top end high priced talent?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the, for DraftKings purposes, you know, the natural build is going to be, let's grab one or two low guys, one or two high guys, and a couple from the middle. I think that's going to be very popular. I probably won't, because I do, even in a no-cut event, I think there's a big difference between the 6K and the 7K this week.
Meaning what?
I think there's a large enough gap in talent between the guys. Like, you look at a guy like Kokrak or Ryan Palmer, or Anser or Champ. Like, I think there's a big enough gap between them and, like, guys at the bottom. Nah, Streb, Sink, Lair. Like, I just don't want to play those guys. Like, you're going to need probably the winner, the guy in second, and six guys in the top 10. Right? That's what you're going to need this week. And I just don't really see that sort of upside from anybody in the 6K range. You know, maybe a guy like Lonto, who it's just impossible to get right anyways. But he's probably going to be one of the more popular guys down there. So I'm probably going to go one stud and then slightly more balanced build, maybe kind of 110, 19, a couple in the 8, and the rest in the 7s.
Yeah. I there's not a lot of things going on in the sixes that really are very appealing to me. I mean, potentially a Kevin Na. Nick Taylor can sneak up. He's you know, he's pretty handy off the tee. He's pretty good tee to green.
Yeah, that's a guy who could sneak up. You know, he definitely hits it far enough, makes a lot of birdies.
I think Richie,
Andrew
even.
Landry might be interesting just because he's pretty good in the wind, but yeah, just not a lot of interest in there. And yeah, as I mentioned earlier, like par four scoring is going to be huge for me. And I was just looking back at something. And so the top 10 last year in par four scoring average, I'm going to read you these names and you're going to tell me what they have in common. Webb, Bryson, Xander, JT, DJ, Reed, Rahm, Scheffler, and Berger. English. So those are the top 10 in par four.
Top 10 par four scoring. Top 10 what?
In par four scoring average last year.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And all 10 of those guys are here, right? Because it doesn't really matter where you're playing, right? That stat, par four scoring, it's a very versatile stat. And it's going to lend you towards guys who are just playing well. There are more par fours on every course than par fives and par threes. So I think that gets amplified.
I think par four scoring is the ultimate tell of who is one of the better players on tour.
Yeah, and I take that filter. And then, of course, we know strokes gained off the tee and distance and all that is important. So then, yeah, I'm going to filter that. And what are you left with? Well, you're left with DJ, Bryson, and JT. Yeah, that's how you get there. So it's an interesting
Can we talk about this for a second? Because you mentioned a guy I want to talk about. So coming into this year, I don't want to do predictions about majors because we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I here's my one prediction of a major. I think Dustin Johnson's going back to back at the Masters.
That'd be cool.
But in terms of I'm going to do who's going to have the best year, who is going to rise, mm-hmm. and who's going to fall. For me, Dustin Johnson is going to have the best year again. I think it's going
to rise from where he is.
He can't rise. I'm just saying yeah. He's going to have the best year. I mean, I just think he's untouchable right now. He's nuclear hot fire. Plus, Rahm changing clubs to Callaway. Potential regression. Mm-hmm. Riser, Cam Smith. Largely, obviously, because of what we saw from him at the Masters. But I just think he has this tenacity to him. And a all-around game and this sort of moxie. Great short game, great putter, great at Augusta. Mm-hmm. I think he's only going to get better. And a faller? I just think Bryson.
Yeah.
Those are my three.
Yeah, I could see all those things happening. I would say in terms of kind of world number one player of the year, I'm going to pick the same guy I picked last year, and that's Rahm. He was probably number two for most of the year, and I think he and DJ are pretty close, closer than it seems. And when I have those situations, I'm just going to take the younger guy, the guy who's probably a little bit more motivated at this point in his career. So, yeah, definitely Rahm for me. In terms of a riser, I don't know if this is deep enough for you, but I will say Victor Hovland. Mm-hmm. He's going to get into the top five in the world by the end of the year. Mm. That might be a major. That might just be a couple of wins. I think he's probably, what, 18th or 16th or something right now, but I could see him getting up close to the top five. So that would probably be my main riser. I do like Cam Smith, obviously. and then a faller, I don't know if this is a cop out, but Tiger, I guess he fell this
That's
year,
cop out.
Right? Okay.
That's cop out.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to say exactly what I said earlier. When I look at these guys at the top, I'm just going to go with the young guys. So I will say Webb is our faller. I don't know how far he'll fall, but he got what, up to number 4 or 5 in the world. I think, you know, probably going to end this year closer to number 20 or 25.
He slowed down a lot towards the end of the year.
Guys get older. They slow down. They play a little bit less, a little bit less motivated. But I mean, we were talking about him, what, I think most of this year as, I mean, one of the best players. He was either number one or number two for a while, until DJ and Rom went on their run. So I still think he's great, but I would see Webb probably closer to number 20 by the end of the year.
So back to, Century. We printed out the Green Square Golf list of 42 players. And I said, I'm going to start to scratch this out to leave it to 10. Mm-hmm. And this is not necessarily what the value is on DraftKings, because, you know, honestly, with 6K Richie Wierenski, you may get a lot of value out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can putt really well. He can hit it far enough. And he's 6K, gives you a lot of options. I mean, that's boom or bust.
Yep.
I mean, I will say Lonto Griffin 6.9 is probably my favorite in the sixes, only because he has, number one, he's on my team for the Pat Mayo charity. But he can do a lot of everything, and he's a winner on tour. And I think he actually performed pretty well this week. But in terms of guys who can actually win, it came down to 10. One may surprise you, Ryan.
I hope they all surprise me.
This one surprises me. I put it on here because I eliminated some guys that probably could best him. But the non-surprises, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele. You know, so I skipped two big guys there.
I have those three as well, yes.
Hideki, Patrick Reed, who I'd put in my top two, maybe three this week. Sorry, top three, maybe two. That's five. Morikawa, probably should have said Hovland. Finau, you know, I just think this is we've said this every week for 3 years, 4 years, but this may be a perfect opportunity for Tony. He seems really comfortable. He's out there with his son right now. He's gotten better in all facets of the game. He's not like a Ben On type putter in that you have to wince every time you see him putt. He's actually gotten a lot better. It's just the one day that he regresses that puts him behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. But I think that coming out in this tournament, I think that Thursday he could shoot, you know, 60. I just think it's one of those weeks for Tony. Let me give you two more guys. Cameron Smith, love it. Here's the weird one. Mark Leishman. I knew I'd get the reaction.
Now, maybe a DK value, I guess, but I don't know.
I don't know. He's a fourth and a seventh here.
Yeah, I mean, he's been trying to get out of his rut, but
he's wildly terrible off the tee. But with what, 7,000 yard wide fairways?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, he's played well here. He's good in the wind. Yeah, it's definitely.
You know, that's what I'm thinking. He can negate that.
I probably can't. I can't say much because I have a weird name on mine too. But
all right, what are your 10?
So we have six of the same: JT, DJ, Xander, Reed, Finau, Cam Smith. So those six were a wash. The four that I have that you don't: Rom, Hovland.
What do you think of the equipment change?
Nothing. He's just fine.
Why?
He's just fine. He wouldn't be putting stuff in the bag if he wasn't good. John Rahm could play with hickory sticks, and I would still bet him.
That's true.
The four that I have that you didn't: Rahm, who's probably going to be my pick to win this week. Hovland, Champ, and then I went back and forth on the last spot between.
This is going to be a weird one.
Well, I was between Neiman and Answer.
That's okay.
Everyone's on Neiman this week, so I'll go Answer.
Yeah.
And it's weird to pick these guys that don't win, you know, Finau, Answer, because this is the tournament of champions. But I think they have the talent to win in this field.
The three I limited last were that I had a hard time doing were Neiman, Answer, and Scheffler. My first one off was Michael Thompson, Fuck that guy.
Yes. I mean, Brian Gay, right? Just a weird field. Like, you look back, you're like, ah, oh, Stuart Sink won, Martin Laird won, Robert Stribb won. Like, yeah, when did this happen?
When did this happen? Didn't Lonto win like 10 years ago?
Yeah, the Houston Open last year, right? Or something?
Time is a flat circle.
And, yeah, and then Richie, which is just bringing up bad memories of when he beat Schwab at the Barracuda.
Ugh, deadly.
That was bad. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's...
When did Hodson Swafford win?
He just won... He won something in the fall. Maybe he won Houston this year. Lonto is here because of the Tour Championship. I think Hudson won Houston. But, yeah, it's a weird field because it's like a glorified Tour Championship, but they added 12 really bad golfers to it.
You know... We've talked about every player in the field, and then you think about the guys that you want then because they're going to be low owned. It's Patrick Cantlay, right? We've mentioned him once.
Yeah, you know, people used to love him, and they definitely
can't get behind. He's just like so vanilla toast. You can't get behind him.
I'm very interested to see the ownership on Daniel Berger because people were clamoring to play him in full fields for like 9,600. Now he's 8,600 in a no cut event, and I feel like he should be fine here. I'm interested to see the ownership and if he can maintain that kind of form that he's been doing. But for DraftKings, you know, it's the kind of week where like, don't read anything and don't listen to podcasts like this one because everybody is going to play the same guys. And there's going to be a handful of guys, like you mentioned, Patrick Cantlay is probably one of them who is just not going to be owned. Like Matsuyama is probably not going to be owned.
Patrick Cantlay is going to Berger is 11% projected ownership.
Yeah, people stop playing Morikawa. He's 8,700. The guy won three.
He's sub 10 projected.
Like, yeah, why would you not play Morikawa? Like
Sungjae Im, who had a great Masters.
Yeah, I think that's the route that I'm going to go. Like, you take one guy. Yes. Like for me, it's probably going to be Rom, who I assume is going to be popular. But I feel like. If I'm not playing DJ or JT or Bryson or Xander, I'm going to be fine.
Ryan Palmer
is
top projected ownership at 30%.
That's crazy. Like, okay. That's
crazy.
I'll just cross them off.
Mackenzie Hughes, 25.
Yeah. Like, you just got to cross guys like that off because just take a guy.
It's pointless. You lose. Even if you win, you lose.
Yeah. Like, I'm just looking at this. Like, I am pretty sure at this point I'm just going to start, like, Rom, Hovland, Morikawa, and then, you know, scrap some guys that are not owned.
Leishman, Morikawa, and Hovland. Munoz will be
Brendan.
Brendan Tort. He'll be sub 10.
You talked about a par 4 scorer, plays well in the wind. Like, yeah, who knows? He's had a couple months.
What about Billy Horschel?
No,
he's not going to.
Yeah, we don't play Billy Horschel.
Ah, it's very tough.
Yeah, and then you got your fantasy draft, right? Does that start this week or next week with how you guys are
at the Sony?
Okay.
So my team was the only regret I didn't get was getting Fino. I think Jeff stole him from me.
Yeah. I mean, you guys all took the guys that you love.
But then I thought, man, am I going to miss some fields here because Brooks is somewhat injured, but then he's going to win the US Open and make it up. But my team was DJ Brooks, Matsuyama Fowler, Cam Smith Fratelli. That's six.
On
Lonto.
Yeah, I mean, you got a little squirrely at the bottom there, but you have DJ and Brooks. So, like,
yeah, right?
I think it'd be fine. But, yeah, I think that was funny watching that. You guys all just kind of went on brand, you know. For Jeff, he had Finau and Fleetwood. Skyler took all the Euros. Raza took, you know, Rose and Griot and Horschel.
Rick Gaiman kind of mocked my team, and I said, let's just go head-to-head. I need to follow up on that.
You should. Yeah, get some extra money on these things. But yeah, those things are fun. I have to remember to put in my picks for the Mayo Cup because I need to set an alarm like you did or a calendar invite because I will forget every week.
Yeah, every week.
Yeah.
So the Mayo Cup is fantasygolfchampionships.shgn.com. And I think there's a shorter URL. Let me see. I think it's fansomething.com. Hang on a second. Fanball?
Yeah. It's on Fanball. I think I have to.
Fangolfchamps.com. Fangolfchamps.com. It's a $100 entry. Very well organized, very, very put together, and pretty big $30,000 for a win.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 3,000 entries or something to that effect. And I'm giving one away for free.
I think Saul needs one. He said he couldn't afford one.
Probably not.
He's been losing at NBA.
NBA.
Don't play NBA. That was my New Year's resolution again. Stop playing NBA.
I played it three times. It's pathetic.
No, I've had three guys get late scratched in like a 5-day span. It's just miserable.
Yes. Right. Ryan, Happy New Year, man.
Same. And I am looking forward to this year. Hopefully some semblance of normalcy. And hopefully a Rory McIlroy major.
God bless America.
See you, buddy.